Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows, only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
The geeky dad of the week is...
Jerry Carita is with us today. He's a very prolific producer. You probably have seen a lot of his shows. One of his most famous, probably you've heard of it, The Comic Book Man with Kevin Smith. And he's done a lot of shows, and now he's branching out to do comic books. So, you know, kind of full circle. Jerry has a new comic book series that he's developing with his kid, and he's going to talk about it on our show. So check out the show notes. Hope you can support his new Kickstarter and help his dream become a reality. So, on with the show. Okay, everybody, we have a very special guest today. Jerry Carita is here. Now, Jerry, you're a fellow New Yorker like me. How'd you get into this comic book game?
So I think a lot of people our age, have you been reading since you were a kid?
Yes.
All right. Yes. See, I never had that moment. Like when I was a kid, no one ever handed me the comic book, you know, for the first time. And I then found my people. It was much later. My day job all these years is I'm a reality show producer, and I worked on a show called Comic Book Men, which is about Kevin Smith's shop. Yeah, Kevin Smith's shop in Red Bank. And basically we were on set all day, and I was always into the stories, and I was always into the more sci-fi and superhero kind of movies and TV shows. And Buffy the Vampire Slayer was one of my favorite things. Like my geek thing was always TV. But sitting in that comic shop while we were making the show all day, that's how I got started. Like listening to the guys banter about comics, and Kevin and Walt and Mike Zapsik and Ming and Brian Johnson, less into comics, but just all of them like in love with it. And I was sitting in a shop for like 10 hours a day. So I started reading The Walking Dead. That was my first comic.
Yeah. That's a lot of people's entry points right now was Walking
Dead. Yeah. You forget how old it is. You know, I think it's like 20 something years old now, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Still like the show's still going strong. Not the comics ended, but you know, it's a good entry point because it's not like the typical, you know, storyline that you see in comics, really.
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of what I liked about it. And I remember reading it and thinking, you know, what's nice about this whole thing is you can do anything. You know, I always had a million ideas for stories I wanted to tell, and all of them were, you know, too big or too like no one was going to give me $200 million to make a time travel epic, you know?
Right.
So, yeah. But you know, for a lot less money, I could write that as a comic book. And so I started thinking in terms of that, you can do things in comics that you can't do anywhere else.
Right.
And I really fell in love with that.
You can build a fan base. You can pitch it as something else, like maybe a animated thing or anything else.
Like down the road, the story can live on in other ways, but
right.
But what I like the things that you can do in comics that you can't really do in other places, you know, things that like, if you did the kinds of things you do in comics, like where the art can change completely, if you try to do that in a movie, people would look at it
right.
as like a weird experimental art house film.
Right.
But for a comic, it's just a cool comic, you know, which is awesome.
It's like, you know, when they change an actor mid-season, it's like, Darren looks different.
Darren, wow, you picked an old reference. I would have gone
I can't think of anything recent.
I probably would have gone with what was the oldest Connor sister on
Oh,
Roseanne?
yeah. Yeah. Well,
Becky.
they always made a joke about that. Yeah.
Becky
So, you know, I
Connor.
see Kevin, he's pitching a new reality series with his Mod Castle theater.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that. Yeah. No, I actually, so a lot of the guys that Kevin grew up with, I play poker with on a weekly basis. So
Oh, cool.
his friend who's owns the theater with him and works and runs the place, Ernie O'Donnell, is a buddy of mine. So I've heard a little bit about that.
So you started your own comic book company?
Yeah, so during the pandemic, I think I, like everyone else, was sitting at home, and I had these stories that I was writing over the years, and I started working with a bunch of my buddies who were the produce, some of the production team from Comic Book Men, started a company called Blue Juice Comics, which has been around now for like 10 plus years, I think 12 years, and I started working with them and kind of getting, post-pandemic, kind of getting them back into the convention game a little bit. So we did New York Comic Con together, and I kind of used that all as an opportunity to learn, how a publisher works, and basically learn the fact that nobody gets rich making comics unless, you really like hit it big somehow. It really is a passion thing. But I decided to start my own imprint, which is Thorny Comics, and I use that now to print my own stories, and I'm publishing a few projects that other people are doing as well.
Cool. So, talk about some of the projects that you got in development right now.
Oh yeah. So the first one, I'm launching a Kickstarter tomorrow night. I'm sorry, this will be later, but it's going to launch on Thursday, February 8th. It'll run until middle of March, for a book called The Grizzly Crew, which
Yeah.
was kind of co-created with my 8-year-old.
Yeah, I saw that. That was funny.
It's funny. He just kind of had a funny, he looked at something weird on my computer screen and had a funny idea and just told me about it. I started taking notes because it was a Now it's a book, and that'll be that's the first new one coming up.
It's great that you can, bring your passion with your child and share it together. It's a great thing.
Yeah, he really likes it. He loves drawing, he loves telling stories. He's great, and he loves that kind of stuff. So it has been a lot of fun working with him. He come every day when I see him, he asks me if there are new pages, and I let him, the first time we had character designs from my buddy Nick Justice is the artist, and he did the character designs and he sent them to us. And my son was like, I think this guy, his feet are too small. They should be bigger. And the feather, he started giving me notes, like without no prompting. He just was like a TV executive giving me notes. So that's one that's starting this week. A week later, in February 13th through also mid-March is another Kickstarter. So I'm in Scott Snyder's Our Best Jacket writing workshop, and
Okay.
I'm kind of developing a lot of my own ideas, by listening to him and kind of applying all those lessons. And there are a bunch of people in the class who have short story concepts, and over the last few years they've been collected into two volumes called Tales from the Cloakroom. And
Okay.
so th this year I took over the project, myself and Veronica Howell, who's also in the class. And we're editing and publishing it together. And so we've converted it into an issue-based ongoing anthology series. So
That's very cool.
yeah, it's a lot of fun. Every 3 months there'll be a new issue of Scott Snyder Presents the Cloakroom. And so
So,
it's all short stories by creators who are in his writing workshop.
did you get any pointers from Kevin Smith himself? He's written a lot of
I didn't
comics.
share. Man, it's funny. I told him last time I spoke with him, I told him what I was doing. He was very excited. He dips back in and out of comics all the time. I
Yeah.
think a deal at Dark Horse or somewhere
Right.
now, maybe Vertigo or something. But he, I can't remember. He, not Kevin, but my first book Scott read, and was very encouraging. And so that's the first thing I did. It was called Cicada Samurai, which I'm in the middle of filming now. And then the other person I ask advice of is my cousin is James Tynan, and
Oh.
so I've been bothering him on a pretty weekly basis, and texting him with like questions about artist rates and stuff like that.
That's cool. You got some big hitters as advertisers. Yeah.
I got very lucky with the connections I was able to make. And I mean, Comic Book Men was such a great, Kevin. I mean, Walt Flanagan did some artwork for me for my first Cicada Samurai story. That was a huge boon. He has a huge following of very loyal fans called they call themselves the Ants from the Tell 'Em Steve Dave podcast. And so they were all and I Walt's like wonderful about that. So that was great. So I've been very lucky, and I've also been very lucky that people I've just asked, like reached out to on Instagram, have answered and been into these ideas.
Right. So tell us a little bit about what these projects are about, like little summaries so people can know.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So the Grizzly Crew is it's a pirate. It's an all ages pirate story where attacked by kind of evil pirates along the coast. They can hire the Grizzly Crew to help protect them. And the Grizzly Crew is a group of pirates, but they also happen to be bears.
Right.
And so it's a ragtag group of these gigantic, you know, anthropomorphic bears.
Right.
And they protect these villages from, you know, evil, scary pirates.
Cool. Yeah. That would work as an animated project, right?
I mean, I think so. You know, maybe down the road. Yeah. It's definitely like, a lot of the creative touchstones for the project have been animated things that I loved as a kid. You know, when Nick was doing the designs, we sent him, you know, images from like gummy bears and, the
Tailspin,
the Jungle Book. Yeah. Exactly. Tailspin. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Which is just the Jungle Book. It's the same characters,
Yeah.
you know? So I sent them all that stuff that I loved. And that's been awesome too, because it's, you know, it's kind of another way to get into that stuff with my own son. So it's been a lot of fun.
So this is the book that you so what characters did your son come up with? Like how does it work with between you guys?
So here's how it went down.
I signed a contract for him with like rights issues and stuff.
You know, he's mad at me that he's not doing these podcasts, but everybody records these podcasts after work at like 10 o'clock. He's been asleep for 2 hours.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Can I go on the video and talk about it? I'm like, We'll try to get one during the day. We'll get you in one for sure.
Right.
He's very excited about it. So that's been awesome. That's the Grizzly Crew. So basically, like as we were talking, he was just saying like he saw an image of a pirate bear that he asked me to make Midjourney create. I was messing around with Midjourney 2 years ago, the day it came out, like everyone else in the world.
Yeah.
And he walked in and he was like, "What's that?" And I told him it's an artificial intelligence art generator. And God bless him, at 6 years old, he went, "What's that? Explain it to me." And then immediately said, "Can it make a Spider-Man monkey? Can it make a Minion wizard?" And it did all those things. And then he was like, "What about a pirate bear?" And then he was staring at it. And then he said, "Dad, his name is Captain Grizzly. And he's the captain of a pirate ship of bears." And I was like, "What?" And he just kept talking. And I started taking notes. He was like, "They go around fighting bad pirates and they get paid in treasure, but it looks like gold, but when you squeeze it, it's wax and it's filled with honey because bears like it." And I was like, "That's great." And then he started coming up with these other characters, and he was like, "There's a big," he said, "there should be a polar bear because that's the biggest bear." He likes watching YouTube animals, you know, so he watches all, so he learns about these things. And so he said, "I want there to be a polar bear, and the polar bear can be mad all the time. He's grumpy because, you know, he wants it to be cold because he's a polar bear, but pirates are always like, where it's hot."
Mm-hmm.
You know? So he's always uncomfortable. So he's always grumpy. So I'm like, okay, a giant grumpy polar bear. And then, you know, there was another one who's based on his sister, a 10-year-old bear named Rosie. That's my daughter's middle name.
Mm-hmm.
Harlan's middle name is James. Harlan is my son who did this with me. So there's a koala bear named Jimmy in the story. Those are the two main characters, Rosie and Jimmy, Captain Grizzly. And then he said, "I think the villain should be really scary, like a wolf." And then he said, "Captain Wolf." I was like, "Should it be Captain Wolf Beard or Wolf Heart?" And he chose Wolf Heart. So that's the villain in the story.
So this, it sounds like a great all age story.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun writing it. And like, you know, a lot of the things I did with Blue Juice are not all ages. And a lot of the things you see on Kickstarter, you know, are not.
Right.
Like the Not Safe for Work stuff is what really does well there.
Yeah.
So it's my first, you know, I've been involved in different ways in three different Kickstarter campaigns so far. They've all been pretty successful. You know, we've all like hit our goal and then some. Mm-hmm. This is the first one where, you know, I think it might be a little bit lower just because support for this kind of book is not always as hot on Kickstarter. But I've had so much fun writing it and just trying to tell a good story. You know, it's all kind of the underlying thing for me in the story is about kids and what they're afraid of.
Right.
You know, it all comes from my son is afraid of bears. So I think a moment when he was staring at the bear, pirate bear, and he had to come up with a story about it to kind of make it okay, you know? And that's one of the ways kids cope with fear. They come up with a fun story and then it's like, It's a fun bear, not a scary bear.
Right.
You know, and so that's kind of what it's about. The story, in the story, there are children who are frightened, and their dad, in order to kind of calm them down, soothe their fears, tells them a story about, it's okay, you don't have to worry about those pirates anymore. We hired the Grizzly Crew.
Right. You know, and right now all age graphic novels are really big, you know.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, from your lips to God's ears, buddy.
Yeah.
I hope
I mean,
they are.
all my kids in school, that's all they read in school.
Oh, that's true. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Captain Underpants and Dog and stuff. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So. I hope it catches on, finds a small audience, and just enough that I get to keep writing it. I would be very happy.
Right. And, you know, what are your plans after the Kickstarter? Are you going to go to, like, New York Comic Con is coming up, right?
I don't know if I will be at New York Comic Con yet. I've done New York Comic Con now, mm-hmm, with Blue Juice, and hitting a big convention like that for someone like me, I think would be hard because I don't have enough.
Right.
I would definitely, like, it'd be good to start making contacts, but it's very expensive to get in the door.
Yes.
I probably will be at Brooklyn Comic Con, which is it's in June.
Right. Right. maybe you can do like book signings.
Oh yeah. So Mike Zapsik down at the Secret Stash is
yeah, you got an inside right there.
That's right? It. He's floated the idea past me, you know. Yeah. As soon as I have a few things that I can reasonably sell that I might actually be worth him, I don't want to waste his time either, you know. I don't have a library yet.
Right, right. You should check out Bulletproof Comics in Brooklyn.
Bulletproof Comics? Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Let me write that down.
I also published and wrote a couple of comics myself, and that's where I did my first signing as well. It's one of the bigger like comic book shops in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where is it?
It's right in the heart of Flatbush.
Oh, Flatbush, okay.
Yeah.
I will absolutely reach out to them. Thank you.
Yeah. Right next to Brooklyn College.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know that well. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. I will definitely reach out to them. That's great.
Yeah. and then you have like Midtown in Manhattan. Midtown Comics.
Those guys years ago, I don't think anyone I knew back in the day still works there. But there were a group of guys who were there. We did an episode of Comic Book Men that I'm not even sure. I don't remember now if this even aired, but we had this thing where the guys from Midtown Comics came down to the Secret Stash and kind of had like a comic trivia competition.
Oh, wow.
Thing with like their main guy who knows everything, with Mike Zabcik,
who knows everything for the other store.
I don't even remember.
Oh, man.
So long ago. It was like 12 years ago.
How did that not get released? That would have been so fun to see.
I'm trying to remember. I'm going to ask Zabcik. I'm going to find out. I'm actually going to text him right now just in case he gets back to me in the next 5 minutes before we're done.
Wow. So Cicada Samurai, what is that about?
So again, this kind of came out of the pandemic a little bit. I've never been an anxious person, but I have three kids now. And as they get older, they just keep trying to kill themselves.
Yes, and I have three kids as well.
Yeah, as a dad, your whole existence is trying to keep them alive until they're technically not your responsibility anymore. And hope that they stay alive after that.
Right.
So I had all this anxiety about my kids and safety. And then at the same time, in 2021, there was an enormous brood of cicadas that came out.
Yes.
Everywhere, yes. Remember? And I got obsessed with them and I started reading about them. And they're like fantastic, weird, just dumb little, they're gigantic flies. They're
beautiful looking creatures.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Gorgeous. They're completely defenseless though. Like they can't fight. They can't.
No.
They come above ground. They've been underground for 17 years. They come above ground. They get like 3 weeks to live and they drop dead. Uh-huh. And then, while they're above ground, they never learn how to fly right. They just fly into stuff. They're just like big hapless. They're like awkward teenagers. They're 17 years old, you know, and they're just getting wings under them for the first time.
Yeah.
So I just took like keeping three kids alive is like a full-time job and it's like high anxiety. Imagine if you were the only adult and there were millions of teenagers and you had to try and keep all of them alive.
Oh, okay.
Predators and all that stuff. And then the cicada is it all kind of came together that way. So the idea is there's a single immortal cicada samurai and his job is to protect the brood when they emerge from the ground so that they can all travel up to the treetops, mate, and the whole system can repeat. So he protects them all from foxes and birds, and there's a cicada-killing hornet, which is a gigantic monster of a thing. And he basically fights them all in order to protect the brood so that the species can continue.
That's a cool idea for a story, yeah.
It's a lot of fun, and that's another one where I got very lucky.
It's
I
like
had
a
this
Bug's
idea.
Life meets like a samurai movie.
Yeah, it's so this is so the samurai thing. So I had this idea. I was messing around, like, again, I'm not a good artist, so I had like hand drawn my own handful of really terrible ideas, and I just on Instagram I reached out to Takashi Okazaki, who did
Oh,
Afro,
wow.
and he replied, and he was into it, and he did my first round of character designs for the book.
Cool.
It was awesome. He just was kind of into it. Cicadas, I didn't know this. Cicadas are an enormous thing in Japan too, and they're a big part of the culture there.
Well, it
So
even
he knew all
fits,
about
yeah.
it. What's that?
It fits with the samurai tona.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, Kurosawa's not around, so I went to the next best person, and we started bouncing samurai stories off of each other for a while. And then he got very busy. He's doing Star Wars Visions, and he does a ton of
Oh,
animation work.
cool.
So
Yeah.
he kind of disappeared. I knew he wasn't going to be able to do the book. So I got someone else. Mary Landrieu is the artist on the book. She's amazing also. But yeah, that was the whole idea. It just kind of came out of that combination of things.
I remember seeing some ads for the Cicada Samurai on Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah, I pushed that one a lot. I was very proud of it. That's the one that I was writing when I started Scott's class, and you know, he read the script. When you're in his class, you can meet with him, and so I sent it to him, and I had a 10-minute meeting with him, and he was very encouraging about a lot of it, you know, and it was great. So, you know, I'm very proud of it. It did well, and so I'm going to keep it going. And if I 10-page story that I wrote to, you know, sell the idea to a publisher, I'll do that. To a bigger publisher than me, I'll do that. And if not, I think what's nice about Kickstarter is, it's like a different group of people from, you know, like people who really like indie books. Those are very hard to get in local shops these days, because comic shops are getting squeezed. They have to go with what sells, which is capes and tights. And so the rest of us kind of have to find our own way. And that whole community, there's a whole group of people. There's like probably not even that many, but a few thousand people maybe total who are on Kickstarter and are just dying for these kind of out there indie stories and will support. And what's
And
nice,
they support each other.
yeah, it's great. And I'm in a couple of Discord groups with people like Travis Gibb and Charlie Stickney and Frank Martin, and they're all just so like nice and welcoming and supportive and not competitive in any way. And you know, it's great. It's so good. So I'm really enjoying that. And so, you know, if I don't sell it to if I can't get a bigger publisher interested, I'll just keep coming back to Kickstarter, because the community launched it and they like it. If they like it, you know, maybe they'll keep coming back for it, and I'll keep for as
I
long as we.
mean, the Ninja Turtles was a very indie book, and look at
Right.
that now,
Yeah, exactly.
black and white. Used to just hand it out in local garages, and then
That's it.
blew up.
That's it. So, you know, if you can get 100 people interested in your thing, you can make it, and Kickstarter will, the community there will welcome you and support it. And, you know, it's great. It's been really wonderful.
So, what other projects do you have in the pipeline?
The Scott Snyder one. And then let me think of what else I'm doing. I'm doing another book with Rich Davis called Reign of Dracula.
No.
We actually just finished that campaign recently.
Yes, I remember seeing that one as well. Yeah.
Yeah, he did Cult of Dracula with, I think the first book was with Source Point, and then Rise of Dracula, which I think was with Red 5 Comics, I want to say. And I think he just likes moving around. So he and I spoke. He was on a show for Netflix called Swap Shop that I produced. So that's how we met. And he had just sold Cult of Dracula, which became a big hit for him. Big indie hit book. So we talked, and I know I had he doesn't have any Kickstarter experience, and I had just done three things myself and done well. So we got together, and we were doing three double-sized issues of the final, you know, trilogy, basically, of his the trilogy of trilogies. Three, there are three. So we did the first one, we'll do the second one in a few months, and then the third one at, you know, sort of toward the end of 2024.
So on the producing front, what are you doing? Anything in the pipeline as well?
Well, I'm working on, I don't know if I can really talk about the one I'm doing right now. Really supposed to talk much about it. It's not necessarily something that would be super exciting for you or your audience.
Okay.
But it's, you know, it's I'll say it's for Discovery Channel. And you know, over the last few years I've been pretty lucky. I did a History Channel show, I did a season of The Food That Built America,
I saw that.
the show on Netflix, Slop Shop, that was a couple of years ago. You know, and then going way back, Comic Book Men, I did Geeking Out, which was also with Kevin Smith. That was another AMC show. And then it's kind of weird, like when you do what I do, you work on your one project, you know, as a freelancer, and then when that's over in a few months, I'll start to look for my next thing.
Right. You ever thought about maybe doing a reality series about an indie comic book creator?
Oh, like just point the camera, turn around at myself.
I mean, you know a lot of them now because of your experience and
That's true. That's true. I've definitely been thinking about a lot of those guys will do their own streaming platform podcast, you know, weekly get together with the other guys in the group or something like that. So I've definitely been thinking about ways to take my, you know, experience making.
Like a Project
Oh,
Greenlight, but
that's
comic
fun.
book form,
That's
and you have
fun.
like the winner gets their book published at the end of the show.
That's fun. See, these guys, I feel like what they would want to do instead is like a celebrity death match kind of thing with all of them, but in a comic book, you know? Like it would turn into a comic book where like each guys has powers that are based on the kinds of books they write and then to like murder each other. Which actually, now that we're talking about it, I might start taking notes on that idea. That's fun.
See, we're just pitching ideas now on
I
the
love it. I love it, man. This is my favorite thing. This is the one thing about comics which I love. Like I've written for television too. And when you write a screenplay or a teleplay for TV, it's like you're writing like a manual. It's very dry, you know, because there's 50 departments and 100 people, and they all have to read it and take data and then go build their part of the thing. They all have to come together at the end, and it all has to make sense. So your script is a manual. It's not really as much fun as this. Whereas like a comic book script is still kind of a manual, but it's only for one person. So if you have a relationship with your artist, you can write whatever you want. You can
And
be like,
it's so great when the artist and you co like mesh
oh
completely, you know?
yeah. And every artist I've worked with has been different, but you know, it's like sometimes I'll be really specific about a page where I have something in my head that I just want to see. And sometimes, depending on the artist, I'll be a lot more vague and I'll say like, I don't know what this page is. I want to feel like this. And then let them run with it and let them surprise you. It's really collaborative. That part of this has been awesome, you know, working with
Only
other writers and editors and everything.
downside is like you can't do like a reshoot, you know?
That's true.
Change a scene here, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you can before you publish, you can always ask them to rewrite it, to
But
redraw
that's
it.
a pain. It's a pain in the ass.
It's hard. Yeah. And you can only do that so much before the, you know, whoever, whichever artist, the most patient artist is, dude, just write it right the first time. Yep.
Artists can be very fickle.
Oh, sure. For sure. I mean, to be fair, we all can, you know?
So, the Kickstarter, how many days is it gonna run?
It's going to run for 4 weeks, both Kickstarters. So the Grizzly Crew starts February 8th. It'll run until March 8th-ish,
We'll
around
have
the
this episode before that, so that's fine.
Okay, great. Yeah, so it'll be running until March 8th, and then the one for Scott Snyder Presents the Cloakroom, that will run until March like 13th, I think.
Scott Snyder is supporting the book and everything, right?
Yeah, he supported the last two. I think for the last one, as a reward, he signed a bunch of the books. He's like, you know, there's a lot of really nice. I've met so many nice people in comics, but he is among the most gracious and just giving of his time, and he just loves teaching and loves supporting it. He like, you know, he's offered more help that we felt bad, and we were like, no, let us do the work. Like we can do it.
Should make him the right like write a foreword for the book.
Oh, we're doing that. I'm
Oh yeah.
definitely, yeah, no,
Exactly. That's
he's
good.
definitely
That's
doing that,
definitely
you
good.
know. But he's super supportive. Even just letting us put his name on the cover, you know what I mean? That's
Exactly. I mean, I was
what
surprised that, you know, his name is
I
there.
mean. That's what I mean. He's super supportive, and just like ha loves answering questions and talking about the
He's
process.
not like a lot of these comic book writers, they get sometimes they get a little full of themselves, you know.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah. He's like, so far, that hasn't happened.
Yeah, that's cool.
And the guy can do anything, you know, like he did like an indie horror, and then he, you know, like
exactly
killed Batman for so many years and was amazing. I mean,
his Batman run is classic now.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's amazing. And then he left that and did a bunch of, just decided to do a bunch of other random, like, you know, dipped his toe into pools that he's never swam in before.
Right.
And every one of those stories is fun and great. And like,
I would say his Batman is probably up there with Frank Miller. I'm going to go in the far.
He would be very like cautious about taking that compliment, I think.
I mean, some of the concepts that he's created in that short time, they're already adapting it into animation and movies.
You know? Yeah, I think The Court of Owls is already an animated film.
Yeah. And I hear a lot of The Batman is based on Scott's stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah, he wrote like a more cerebral Batman.
Yes. You know,
Batman, yeah. Like Batman the Great Detective. Like, it's more about that than everything else sometimes. But I love it. But yeah, he's amazing and so supportive and just like nice, just such a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one has a bad word.
So the show is called The Geeky Dad, and I would say that you are a geeky dad.
Thank you.
Right? Absolutely. You have three kids. You have how many boys?
I have boy, girl, boy, so two boys.
Okay. So you have any plans to do like something collaborative with the girl? Like more?
Not in comics yet. I think the thing with Harlan just happened on its own. It's like an thing. It's funny because the older two got a little jealous at first.
So that's exactly what happened with my kids when we did books together too.
Yeah, they immediately started pitching ideas, and I was like,
yeah, it's hard to let them down, you know.
I know because they said, you know what, I'll probably end up doing something with each of them. They all have kind of different, my oldest guy likes reading the story, creating them, so I don't know if he'll ever want to really do one. Mm-hmm. But my daughter wants to do everything that either of her brothers are doing, so
that's cool.
I fully expected to do a book with her at some point.
Yeah. And just like you, I got my kids in like all different sports. They got soccer, they got taekwondo, swimming. It's hard to keep up with all the stuff, you know, plus to have time with them, you know, and it's good that you're mixing your, you know, work life with your kids with this book. So that's cool.
Yeah. I've had a lot of fun doing it.
So thank you for being on the show. And, you know, it was kind of a time crunch, but it's good, right?
No, right? This was great. Yeah. I'm happy to do it again and come on.
Yeah, we'll love to have you on the show. You know, we love having geeky dads on the show. That's the title of the show. And I want to say, I hope you get a lot of good success with this Grizzly Crew. That's the name of the book, right? Yeah, Grizzly Crew. Check the show notes. It's going to be there, the links to the Kickstarter. And, you know, Jerry? Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And that's a wrap.